and welcome to Myth Monsters. My name is Erin and I'll be your host for these little snack bite-sized podcasts on folklore and mythical monsters from around the world. These podcasts focus on the actual cryptids, folklore and mythic monsters from global mythology, rather than focusing on the full stories of heroes and their big adventures. I'll also be dropping in some references that they have to recent culture, and where you can see these represented in modern day content, so that you can learn more and get as obsessed as I am about these absolute legends of the mythological world. Back to our normal schedule now. I do hope you enjoyed the Heracles special last week. I know I did. But there are no more surprise specials until Halloween now, I promise. So we've got a long while till October. It's the first week of May, and the day that this comes out, it's May the 4th. So if you're listening on May 4th, may it be with you. However, spring is finally upon us, and we are going to head over to somewhere a little bit chilly in contrast. Yes, we are over to Canada for the first time, and we are looking at the wonderfully wet cryptid, the Mugwump. You may have heard of this monster recently through political means, but I assure you they are referencing a cryptid and one that we are going to look further into today. The Mugwump is described as a lake monster from specifically the Canadian lake Timiskaming, which borders Ontario and Quebec. This monster has had various descriptions through the years, but is usually described as being between 15 to 100 feet long, and generally looking like a long eel or snake, with the head of a horse or dinosaur, with googly, sticky-out eyes. It's said to have scales as large as saucers, no fins, and a body so wiggly it can wrap around houses. There are some reports that it looks more like a human-sized sturgeon, which is a very large, long river fish, but these reports are definitely lacking, especially in specifics on this. You can usually follow a snake-like trail from the water through the snow near the lake if you are looking for one, and apparently it is the only cryptid in Ontario that can move on dry land, so you're most definitely looking at a mugwump if you find a weird-looking land snake. It's not known if there is a singular mugwump, or if they are a breeding species, but it is thought that if they do breed, it's going to be around the summertime when they are most likely to be spotted. They don't like to interact with humans, and are most likely going to flee as soon as they see one, making spotting one actually quite hard to do. But it does mean that they are almost no threat, and they're not particularly interested in eating or hurting us either, which is always a good thing. Lake Timiskaming is the widening part of the Ottawa River, which has an average depth of around 118 foot, but can go as deep as 720 foot. So there definitely is space here for a colony of monsters to go unseen within those horrible dark depths. It is also believed that they feed on large fish, which the river has plenty of, so it's a really good place for them to stay too, and especially with that depth, easy for them to remain unspotted. Now you might be thinking, if you follow me on social media, Erin, you posted a really creepy picture to advertise this monster, and it doesn't sound like it matches up to what you've described here. And you are totally right, it doesn't. But this mugwump, and it is a mugwump, was made for the 1991 movie Naked Lunch, and popularised the monster, even using the name, as a kind of weird insect alien creature. They don't look anything like it, but really, it was the only proper art I could find of it. So it's why I went with it in the end. However, this is not typical of how they look. Although, if you want to imagine that horrible looking warty face on the end of a very long snake, you are more than welcome to imagine so. Also, you might have heard it through other names, such as Tessie, or the monster from Lake Temiskaming. Tessie being the fun play on Nessie from the Loch Ness Monster, of course, and the other being the French name of the lake it comes from. Obviously, because it's a Quebecian monster as well, there is the French half of this that we kind of have to consider also. Now, on to etymology. The word mugwump is an Algonquin word, which is a native tribe to the region. The meaning of the word is still debated, with some people saying it means fearless sturgeon, others saying important person or war leader, but we're not really sure. However, what I can tell you is that the meaning of the word was hijacked in the 1880s by politicians and changed the meaning of the word to suggest someone sitting on the fence or changing their party they were voting for historically. I'll get into the history of that bit later though, it is slightly interesting. The important history of this monster though is really extensive, so we'll get into that. It was first documented in 1879 by the Anishinaabe people, otherwise known as some of the collected native tribes of Canada and the US, including the Algonquin tribe, and they described offering tobacco to the monster living in the lake at the time if you were passing through to appease a water spirit. We assume the water spirit is the monster at this point. Once European settlers came to the region in around 1920, they would often report strange noises from the lake, and they would find these saucer-sized scales to bring home. In the 1940s, John Cobb, who operated tugboats, saw the monster with its head and nose above the water, which was then followed by Chuck Cool in the 1960s, who thought he had found a floating human body, but on closer inspection, it was a creature that flipped back over and swam away. And then, in 1978, it was seen again on the shore by Ernie Chartrand and his wife, and it quickly slid back into the water out of sight. However, the first written document of the monster was written by Jack Dent, a descendant from the first chief who encountered this monster back in the 1880s. He wrote an article in 1979 about the monster, and although it would be great for tourism in the area, as he was a politician. This is backed up by another few articles in 1979 by Mike Pearson, who kicked off the Mugwump love and obsession within the early cryptid community in the area. During the 1980s, the monster was spotted many times throughout the summer, and more articles were published about it. However, the last known sighting was in 2015, where you can see this monster swimming about in the lake on YouTube. The actual title on the video is Le Monstre du Lac Témiscamingue, because French Canada, I suppose. But okay, what do we think it might be in terms of breaking it down? Well, the best prediction is that of a giant sturgeon. No surprises there. Sturgeon are massive fish, and they are known to swim near the surface too. They are also delicious, I will just say that. But also, they are consistently misidentified as sturgeons, and it is the most common sighting we get in connection to these monsters. But they could basically be any large fish, or even misidentified as large, because the refraction of light on the surface of water does make figuring out how large things are pretty tough. Another suggestion is that it could be descendants of dinosaurs just like Nessie, such as the nautiloids like the Orthoceras, plesiosaurs like the Elasmosaurus, or sometimes even Nessie, or whales like Basilosaurus. It could also be otters, logs, or just funky wave patterns. That is the easiest way to kind of summarise this one. Now, I did say I would get back onto the political thing. So the term mugwump politically means to sit on the fence with your own policies, which we established earlier. We're not too sure as to how the mugwump monster got pulled into this, but in the 1884 presidential election in the US, a few politicians swapped parties from Republican to Democratic to support a certain candidate, which is generally quite frowned upon in any country's circles. Now, we think that the reason mugwumps got attached is because of the translation of important person, and it was applied sarcastically to the party swappers. You can also still hear this word politically used to this day, even over here in the UK. The former Prime Minister Boris Johnson used it to describe the former opposition Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn as a mutton-headed old mugwump, but was previously called one himself too. I will say, I think he's an idiot, and that's in the kindest and most PC of terms. But also, in the 1880s, we know that the mugwump theory started, so it makes sense that this quite prevalent and talked about monster at the time could have made it into politics. It makes sense. Now, onto modern media, we don't really have anything specific for the mugwump itself, other than, of course, Naked Lunch. But, of course, we do have similar media for these types of cryptids, so please enjoy. For art, for this one, as well as other cryptids, have a look at independent stuff. These are definitely the coolest versions of this monster too. However, I will note that I really struggled to find one that actually demonstrated what they look like. So if you're looking for something to demonstrate what you're trying to describe, for the mugwump, you might struggle, I will say that. For movies, we have, of course, Naked Lunch, Beneath Loch Ness, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Beyond Loch Ness, The Water Horse, Scooby-Doo and the Loch Ness Monster, Loch Ness, The Loch Ness Horror, Magic in the Water, The Librarian, Incident at Loch Ness, Amazon Women on the Moon and Monsters, Inc. Of course, I did say a lot of Loch Ness movies here. That's because it does make sense. They are quite similar. For TV, we have Primeval, Conspiracy, The Missing Evidence, Phineas and Ferb, The Simpsons, Shaolin Showdown, Count Duckula, South Park, Doug, Gargoyles, The Family Nest, Inspector Gadget, Popeye and Son, SpongeBob SquarePants, Real Monsters, Fairly Odd Parents, Doctor Who, Mystery Hunters, X-Files, The Lost Tapes, River Monsters, and Bewitched. In video games, we have ones such as Club Penguin, Shadow of Colossus, World of Warcraft, Zoog Tycoon, Pokemon, Ace Attorney, Psychonauts, Earthbound, Monster Rancher, The Sims, Super Mario Bros., Mass Effect 3, The Dark Side Detectives, Loch Ness, Endless Ocean, and Subnautica. My book recommendations this week, though, is to have a look at Canadian Monsters and Mysteries by W.T. Watson for great Canadian cryptids, or you can have a look at A Canadian Bestiary, a collection of people, places, and bestiaries from Canadian folklore, cryptozoology, native religion, and mythology by Todd Fisher for a much broader Canadian folklore view. If you're interested in this mythology, that's a really big suggestion from me. Now it's time for Do I Think They Existed? Well, it's a water monster, so there is a level of belief automatically here from me. However, this one does seem a little bit more unbelievable than most. Why? Because it just seems like it would be a giant fish. It just seems that most of these sightings and stories point to a very large fish, or potentially an eel, and I think 98 foot, 100 foot, is definitely a mistake in terms of how long it is. Not even whales get that big. Certainly not ones that could fit in a lake anyway. Also, why just this part of the river? Why not end up in the ocean? Why not go down the other bit of the Ottawa River? So many unanswered questions. But I do love a river beast, and certainly a cryptid. And I will say that Nessie wins. Easy out of these two. But there is another Canadian water cryptid called the Ogopogo, which I will cover another time, which really does give Nessie, our favourite Scottish cryptid, an absolute run for her money. So I'm very excited to cover that, but this one does fail in comparison. Even to the Ogopogo, it's pretty much a bit of a dud. But what do you think? Does the Mugwump haunt the lakes of Canada? Let me know on Twitter. I would love to know what you think about this one, because I think I've made up my mind. So try and convince me otherwise. But what a wet and wild monster this week. Certainly one that intrigues people to this day. Although, as I said, it doesn't really hold a candle to our Nessie, does it? Right? Next week, though, we're heading over to ancient Greece because it's my favourite. And we're looking at another watery monster, the hippocampus. Get your saddles ready to ride through the waves with this one next Thursday. For now, though, thank you so much for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give it a rating on the service you are listening on. I've got the Twitter for any questions or suggestions on what monsters to cover next, and I'd really love to hear from you. The social media handles for TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram are Myth Monsters Podcast, and the Twitter is Myth Monsters Pod, but all of our content can always be found at mythmonsters.co.uk, and you can find us on Good Pods, Buy Me a Coffee, and Patreon if you want to help me fund the podcast too. Also, a heads up that my guest spot on Movie Buff's Happy Hour is coming out this week, I believe. I will send through the details as soon as I have them. I'm also doing a guest spot on Drawing with Animals on the 12th, so I'll let you know when that comes out. We're going to talk about monsters, animals, and how they fit together within mythology and culture. So that one should be really good, but I will make sure that I keep you all updated about it. Come join the fun, though. Share this with your pals. They might love me as much as you do. But for now, stay spooky. And I'll see you later, babes.